news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We made it to the final week of 2020. Well, some of us did. As he has done repeatedly throughout his four-year term, Donald Trump took a bad situation and made it exponentially worse, then swooped in to save the day from the problem he created in the first place. The good news is that the final episode of this devastating reality show turned real life is just 23 days away. To recap, late Monday, December 21st, Congress passed a $900 billion pandemic relief package, along with a $1.4 trillion omnibus spending bill to keep the government funded through the end of the fiscal year in September. It sped through Congress in a few hours, despite the fact that the bill was about 5,600 pages long, the longest ever, and no one really had a chance to read it. It passed in the Senate 92-6, in the House 359-53. But on Tuesday, instead of signing the bill, Donald Trump released a video calling it a disgrace and demanding changes, that payment checks be for $2,000 instead of $600, and also cuts to programs included in the funding portion of the package, seeming to conflate the two parts of the massive bill. Keep in mind that in the 7 weeks since the election, Trump had been missing in action, seeming only to care about his propaganda campaign alleging that the election had been stolen from him. So on Wednesday, December 23rd, Trump vetoed the National Defense Authorization Act, ostensibly for two reasons. One, it would require the military rename bases that were originally named after figures from the Confederacy. And two, because it doesn't include a repeal of Section 230. That's a law that shields social media companies from liability for what's posted on their sites by them or third parties. Then Trump boarded Air Force One to leave the White House and spend Christmas in Florida at his Mar-a-Lago resort, leaving the nation in limbo. To reiterate, while most of the country is suffering, waiting for help through what is the worst crisis in our lives, Donald Trump was sitting on relief checks, unemployment benefits, and rental aid from the comfort of his Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida. Vice President Mike Pence went on a skiing vacation to Vail, Colorado, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin took a private jet down to his vacation home in a Mexican resort near Cabo. Got it? Okay. On Thursday, Christmas Eve, the finalized bill that included the COVID-19 relief measure and omnibus spending bill, together known as the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021, or CAA, was sent to Florida for Trump's signature, where it sat. Although we later learned that the staff had set up a ballroom for a signing ceremony to happen Thursday night, Christmas Eve, that Trump subsequently canceled. Because he didn't sign it before midnight on Saturday night, pandemic relief programs expired, meaning more than 12 million Americans who relied on them will likely experience a blip in aid. Unemployment compensation and federal enhancement payments will be shortened by a week as they are reinstated, and there may be a break in payments of several weeks while state agencies reprogram their computers. But luckily, the benefits are retroactive. So the impetuous child playing president held his breath till his face turned blue and then relented and signed the bill on Sunday night and got nothing out of it other than a few days of attention and more chaos. He issued a toothless signing statement saying that Congress will review Section 230. That's the part dealing with the social media company's liability. They'll investigate voter fraud and the Senate will vote on $2,000 checks. He said that Senate leaders had committed to a vote, but Mitch McConnell hasn't acknowledged that commitment. Anyway, Trump said he'd be sending a redlined version of the legislation back to Congress, showing lawmakers which wasteful items he wants removed. Democrats already said they'll just ignore his changes. And that brings us to Monday morning, December 28th, and the status of the NDAA is still up in the air. The House returns to take up Trump's directive to change the amount of the checks being sent to individuals from $600 to $2,000, and they'll also vote on overriding Trump's veto of the National Defense Authorization Act. And remember, both the House and Senate passed the $740 billion NDAA with veto-proof majorities. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has said that many Republicans won't vote to override, potentially putting the bill's fate in doubt. If the House gets the two-thirds majority necessary to keep it alive, the Senate will then come back to vote on Tuesday. It would be the first time Congress has overridden one of Trump's vetoes. Stay tuned. Stop the insanity. Those words, in all caps, are emblazoned across the front page of the New York Post on Monday. Yeah, the Rupert Murdoch-owned tabloid that's been a reliable Trump ally all along tore into Trump in an editorial describing him as an insane and tragic King Lear figure who's so angry and obsessed over his election defeat that he's threatening to destroy his own presidential legacy. What legacy? In its editorial, the paper writes, quote, "We understand, Mr. President, that you're angry that you lost. But to continue down this road is ruinous. We offer this as a newspaper that endorsed you, that supported you." It then urges Trump to focus his anger on the Georgia Senate runoffs, saying that if he helps to secure the Senate, it will also secure his legacy. But warns, quote, "If you insist on spending your final days in office to burn it all down, that will be how you are remembered, not as a revolutionary, but as the anarchist holding the match." So now Trump will head to Georgia for a rally in support of Loeffler and Perdue next Monday, the day before the January 5th runoff election. We've now learned that a large blast that shook downtown Nashville early Christmas morning was the work of a suicide bomber. Federal authorities said on Sunday that DNA evidence had shown that Anthony Quinn Warner, the Tennessee man described as the suspect in the bombing, died in the blast. The 63-year-old Warner worked as an independent computer technician at a real estate firm. Federal agents searched his house, where he had kept an RV like the one that exploded in the bombing. Before the explosion, a speaker system in the RV broadcast a warning to evacuate the area. Three people were injured in the blast, but only Warner died. Investigators are still trying to determine a motive for the bombing, which occurred outside an AT&T facility and damaged regional phone and internet coverage. And finally, December marked the deadliest month in the United States since the coronavirus pandemic began, with more than 63,000 COVID-19 deaths recorded nationwide during the month so far. This according to Johns Hopkins University. April held the previous monthly record for the highest number of COVID-19 deaths, when it was reported that at least 55,000 people had died. This resurgence is one of the reasons why the New Year's Eve ball will drop in Times Square, but without the crowds. For the first time, the New Year's event in Times Square will be closed to the public due to the coronavirus pandemic. But you can still watch it on television. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.